So local church is like GP spiritually. And God expects everybody to be part of a local church, to serve in a local church, to fellowship in a local church. Christianity is a fellowship. It's not a religious philosophy. It's a family.
We thank God for today. And we certainly thank God for the apostle of God in this house, Pastor Paul Norton. Please help me, let's appreciate this great man. I've always admired your love for God and simplicity. You know, there's something about simplicity, it's very attractive. It makes people can identify with you. My honorary Ghanaian brother. his skin is different, but his blood is actually my kind of blood. We love you, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm honored. Please help me. Let's appreciate Pastor Paul again. And Pastor Joe, woman of fire. Woman of passion. Please help me. Let's celebrate Pastor Joe. We love you. We honor you. Amen. Amen. We have not had. Today is in United Kingdom. Today is exactly a year since the last time I stood to preach. So thank you for the honor. Exactly a year. We thought it would just be 2 weeks. Little did we know that it's going to be a year and still undefined, still going. So at least in December, I had the privilege of preaching in Ghana. But in UK, this is my first time standing and preaching. I've been sitting in my office and firing. On Monday, I realized from the beginning of January till that's last Monday, which is about 66 days of the year. I've preached 74 times. Wow. Yes, we've been preaching. We had a service every day from 4th January, every day till last, every evening. Service. And we're having fun. You see, it is unbelievers who think going to church is too much. There are people who have managed to find themselves in church, but they are not aware they are unbelievers.
Right.
The fact that you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are not an unbeliever. That's a very strong one.
Yes.
I'll say it again. The fact that you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are not an unbeliever. There are actually bishops who are unbelievers.
Yes.
Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. He said, in the first disciples in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. And then he said, on that day, oh, Abigail, it's nice to see you. Whoa, you look big. It's nice to see you. God bless you. I forgot to tell you, I came with my wife because normally she doesn't go anywhere with me because she's usually, but she said today, we're going to go. I'm spoiled for today. Amen. Thank you for coming, honey. Please help me, let's celebrate. She always prefers to be in the background. Anyway, I was saying that not all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, in that day, many people shall say, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? We did this in your name. And he said, I will say unto them, depart from me. Your actions make you not part of me. Say, you worker of iniquity. Okay. So the criteria is, if you are a changed person, it will show in your works. Mm. One of the signs of genuine salvation is your love for God.
Yeah.
You can't love God and not know. One of the signs of genuine salvation is your love for God, hatred for sin, Faith in the word of God. There are people who call themselves believers, but they think, oh, you can't take everything the Bible is saying. It's a sign that you are not a believer. If you believe, people call themselves believers. What do you believe? I believe. What do you believe? The word of God, or not everything about the, you know, the word of God has got, you know, you can, you know, it was written years ago, so you can't just believe everything says that makes you a non-believer.
Right.
That makes you a non-believer. The challenge of anyone who calls himself a believer is, do you believe in the absolute authority of the scripture? If you don't, you are an unbeliever. You might call yourself a Christian, that's fine, but actually you are an unbeliever. That's a bit strong.
Yeah.
It's about time our generation hear this kind of thing. Yeah. They've made God a mama God.
Yeah.
Everything, God is love, God is love, God is... So you can insult a pastor, I know God is love.
Yeah.
That excessive emphasis on God is love, and they... But it's when people talk about God is love, oh, the love of God. It's true, God is love, actually. It's love, but the love of God wasn't a message by the New Testament church. They didn't preach. Read Acts. They preached repentance. They preached repentance. Men and brethren, what must we do? He said, repent from your sins. They preached repentance and the righteousness of God. They never preached in the Acts. There was no once where they preached, God loves you in spite of what you are doing. God loves you. He will accept you like that. You are the best. No. You are going to hell. So, people manage to find themselves in church and they think they are God's customers. Because they have not repented. They don't realize how much it costs to save them from their sins. If you really appreciate the salvation Christ has done for us, when you come to church, you'll be humble. It's just like someone in somewhere who is believing God to just come to UK. Just wants to come to UK. You just don't worry. When I come, no human right, no problem. Someone told me years ago in Ghana, I said, if I can even step in the airport and breathe the air, I'll be okay. So some people, when they come talking about they're not giving what do you call it, government grants. No, they can't afford it. I'm just in UK. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. I remember a guy told me, he said, if I can come, I will sleep anyway. See, because it's a big privilege for him. But you see, when you think that is my entitlement, you don't see a big deal. When you realize how much Christ has saved us from, see, most people fear coronavirus more than hell.
Wow.
Yes. They fear the police more than God. The fear of God has been sidetracked or marginalized in the modern day church. The fear of God, the love of God. And the modern day church has been tuned to make people feel good about themselves. I think you should feel very worried if you are living in sin. It's true. He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity.
Wow.
When the word of God is preached, some people, when the pastor preach and it's too much, they say, no, I don't like the kind of preaching. You don't have a choice. You don't have a say. And the pastor has not got his message. The message we preach, Romans chapter 1, it said the gospel of God. God owns it.
Yes.
The copyright is God's.
Yes.
Don't change it. Don't spray perfume on it. Leave it the way it, pastor. Just preach it. Yes, Bridget. People are so aggressive, they have hijacked political stages to wash away Christianity And people are in church of Pergamos. They haven't realized that the world is merging with the church. And sometimes you are in church, you are not sure, am I in church or still in the world? Because nothing has really changed. It will take a certain group of people passionate for God, dedicated to God. Don't mind what sacrifice they give or they do for the kingdom. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Our generation is begging for radical, dedicated Christians who believe in God's word. They said, did God say it? I'll live for it.
Amen.
When people are in church and are not really sanctified, or let me put it this way, their hearts have not been touched by God. That's when they have a lot of liberties and quarrels. Hey, this one has stepped on my toe, and this one has done this. I didn't like the way the pastor the other time, the pastor was preaching about me. Who should he preach about? who should he be preaching about? Obviously, it should be you. You're so important that the pastor leaves everybody and just preach a whole message because of you. It's an exaggerated opinion on itself. Because of our narcissistic generation,
Wow. We
come to church and it's all about me, about me, about me. I don't want when they treat me. I don't want. It's all about me. Please excuse me. You don't matter. You don't matter. You don't matter. You know where I work and so on. You know who I am and so on. Sometimes we behave like, I'm not talking about you, I'm just generalizing life. I know you are different. I don't even see why somebody will stay at home when you get the opportunity to fellowship.
Wow.
That's right.
It's a sign of a backsliding Christian.
Yeah.
It's a sign of a backsliding Christian. How can you be having church online? That's not fellowship. You can still do online dating, but if you keep it online, it doesn't go anywhere. Moving from online to in person, then you can have some good romance. This whole thing is a love thing. Get the chance to be in church, be in fellowship, and I'll watch online. I watch online, and most times too, when they are watching online, there are other things they are watching at the same time. And Satan, this whole thing is about the church.
Yes.
They want to attack our fellowship. What you said something that was quite scary, Pastor Paul. Second World War, 6 years. After Second World War, United Kingdom was never the same again. The church became very weakened. That's when pubs sprang up. People were not interested in church again. Second World War came to change everything. The Christian culture of this country or of Europe. And coronavirus has come. Coming to change. Because Bible says, Matthew chapter 24 verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Today I came to trust God that I might be able to use the spiritual defibrillator to wake somebody back to love for God. Back to love. Shake you back to love for God. God has brought us from very far. Some of us, what God has yanked you out of. Yeah, it's a big news that you are sitting in church. Yeah. It's a great credit to God. Don't compromise on it. What does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Right.
What do we get? Our generation has become so, materialistic, human-centered,
Yes. Happiness,
people's happiness-centered. Some of this whole human right thing is all about people and not destinies and God. If you are selfish, you can't have a good marriage. There's nothing like selfish good marriage. You can't have it. You can't have it. I normally tell people, those who don't want to get married is because they don't have the audacity to face real challenges in life. It's a character problem. Wow. It's a character problem. I don't know if I'm going too far now. It's a character problem if you don't want to marry. Because marriage will test you.
Amen.
It will test you. Yes. Some people prefer. Someone shout, yes!
Yes!
You know, I feel like preaching, you know. Yeah, marriage will test you. It will test you. Some people prefer dogs. Oh, yeah. But dog, you just put the food there. Hey, stay there, stay there. Hey. That's why they say, oh, I like my pets, my pet. You can't stay for another human being because you are so selfish. You don't want to. It's not like sometimes you want, but you don't get a chance. You know, there are different dynamics. But there are people who said, no, just want to be by myself and enjoy my life. You will grow older, you see. This guy, is he coming to threaten us? Or? Usually my messages are quite evangelistic. Bible says that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violence shall take it by force. I stumbled across, I saw in my Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. I think you should put it on the screen. Because Ephesians chapter, do you have it on the screen, please? Please, Ephesians 3, 6. Grace! The grace of God. You want to enjoy the grace, the favor of God. It takes your love for God. Loving God entitles you to his best.
Wow.
Yeah. Loving God entitles you to his best. Can you imagine? At least I came from home with you so I can touch you. Because corona, because of the social distancing, I can't. I like touching people. This is my first time preaching after many months. So permit me to be myself. But you know, in our church, there are times I've touched people, they got miracles.
Amen.
Yeah, there was a guy, he had an accident and he couldn't lift his hand. And one day he came to church and they brought him right in front. And he said, no, no. Pastor is preaching, he's coming. Oh my God, please don't let him touch me because my shoulder. And then I didn't know. I went to him and said, you are the one I've been waiting for, you to come close. You. And he got him supernaturally. He came back and testified. And I didn't know. God is real and God is here.
Amen.
I don't know what the enemy has fought you with, but I believe there's deliverance in God for you.
Yes.
I believe. The God we serve is a God of deliverance. It does not matter what the devil does. He said, if a man keeps his house, a strong man keeps his house, his goods are intact. But if a stronger one comes, he will overpower him. Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is in your midst. So one of the manifestations of the kingdom of God is when devils are cast out. Grace to all who are. You see? Give me King James, please. Oh, if you don't have King James, that's fine. That's okay. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus with Jesus Christ in sincerity.
Wow.
A lot of people haven't noticed that. When you love him, Jesus resurrected from the dead. He asked Peter, do you love, King James said, lovest thou me more than these? When they were eating fish, in John chapter 21 from verse 15, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I do. He said, feed my sheep. You can't love without actions.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I want to really make an appeal to a believer and a lover of God, that if you love God, one of the first and foremost things you will do is you will build his work.
Right.
You will build his work. And when you love God, you will serve him. Serve him. Serve him. Serve him. I'm not talking about attending church, because it's part of it, but it's just a bit of it. Serving God has also to do with your personal resources, physical abilities. I mean, I was telling somebody, how come you are in, let's say you are into IT, or you are into printing, or you are into something that, and it doesn't have an impact on the church. You are a top IT guru, but your church's IT needs deliverance. And you haven't seen it. You'll meet him upstairs one day. I'm saying some interesting things that is easy to escape our attention. Because many people, for us, maybe I come and worship just as I am without one plea. God, I give my offering. I go, no, God want more than your offering.
Amen.
God wants more than your offerings. He wants your person and your heart. He said, give me your heart. Pastor, in Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus Christ, you know, he died, he went to heaven, he sat down, he got up and came down twice. The first time he came to warn this guy who was killing the church, Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He said, Saul, why persecuted me? Who are you? Acts chapter 9 from verse 5. Who are you? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. No, it's not you. It's Peter and them. I'm chasing. He said, me. Anything you do to the church, he takes it personal.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He said, why do you persecute me? Meanwhile, it was the disciples he was persecuting. Anything you do to the church, he takes it personal. Let me digress and say this. The other time I was preaching and I said, I don't no healthy family will wash their linen in public. When two people are in a relationship and there's a problem, sometimes they try and do it in a very civil way. So people don't really realize that there are issues going on. You know, because you don't want everybody to know your business. The Holy Ghost will never let you go and attack a church online. Anyone who attacks a church online, it's a different spirit that is operating through them. The Holy Ghost would not put the church and begin to lambast. Some people have made themselves, I am the one who will speak. It's the devil who is using you. I'm waiting for the time. Some of the things, in fact, I am a firm believer that some people must be driven out of the church. Yes, I can show you in scripture. Customer service church kind of life. Eh?
Wow.
No, that's what is weakening the church.
Yeah.
So everybody's okay, don't worry, it's okay. So no, repent. We have to preach the word to you. We have to repent. We can't change the message.
Amen.
Jesus was born in an inn. You know, he was born in the inn, the manger, in the inn. And you know what? We will go and change the manger and put nice decoration. He likes the inn like that. Don't go and change it. I know some people didn't get what I mean. I believe God himself, when the church was born, he drove out many people from the church.
Right.
Because the church, they were coming in. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. They were fake. But they were coming to temper with the new thing God was doing. God kill them. And do you know, Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, and none dared to join them. No, go to the verse 13 before verse 14. Verse 13, see. It says that, and all the rest, does no man, NIV, I think NIV is easier to understand. Yes, or New King James, any of them. Okay, I think I'll take it like that. And of the rest, does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified. Change the thing. No, okay. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded. You won't say, I'm going to join them. Because God will kill you. A lot of people were coming in infiltrations. God had to stop it. I don't want. But guess what? Look at the next verse. But the church grew. Wow. Yeah. Nevertheless, more and more men were. You see, women believed. They believed. Believers. True believers were added to the church. It's so sweet when you have a church full of believers. It's so sweet. When we worship, the worship is sweet. Ah! It's so nice. It's so nice when we have believers who are actually hungry for God. The church is not designed for those who are church shopping and church hopping. Let me go and check. Actually, it started from America. The church has been designed to be appealing to unbelievers. No! We can do outreach. But when we gather, it's the community of believers. It's the community of the redeemed.
Right.
Our worship must be God-centered. Yes. Our praise must be God-centered. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, took on the church, persecuting the church. Jesus came down from heaven. He said, Saul, why do you persecute me? That was the first time. Because he went and was seated according to Ephesians. But he got up and came down because someone was trying to mess up with the church.
Yes.
Those who tamper with church, please tell them. Tell them they won't like what is coming. They won't like what is coming. People may not know. And so they, what is it? That's the problem of sometimes, if you don't know. But if you know, many people have paid with their health, marriages, and their careers. When you temper with God's work, the area that suffers easily in your life is your family, that's your marriage. The next thing is your health. You open the floodgates of hell. And I always advise people, when you see someone fighting a church, please just give a space. Give some space. Yeah. There are too many scriptures I can show you from scripture. He said, Moses, tell them to separate themselves. Everybody, stay away from Korah. The earth is about to open. Next time, they should rise up against church leadership. That's what I'm trying to say. I ain't trying to say church leaders are perfect. I never said that. I'm just trying to say there is a way God does things. So sometimes in the attempt to try and take it upon yourself to correct the police, you may end up raising more criminals. Hey! I feel like preaching. The second time Jesus came down was to come and send letters. The first time he came to warn Saul and got him converted. The second time he came and the Isle of Patmos, Revelation chapter 1. And then he came and told him, these things, whatever you see and hear, write and send it to the churches. It's interesting he didn't say send it to the church, capital C-H-U-R-C-H. But to the churches. That means churches, local churches.
Yes.
Local, no, not to the church. Read your Bible.
Yes.
No. Most of the epistles written in the New Testament Most of them were written not to the general. It was written to Ephesians, Romans, yes. Corinthians. So which church do you belong to? Those who say, as for me, there's no church I belong to. You don't understand Christianity. What is this pastor? Look, I have come Sunday morning in coronavirus. Mother's Day. I promised my mom I'll go to church with her. You know what? This will save someone from going to hell. Yes. The modern day church doesn't talk a lot about hell because it's not fair. It's not fair against human rights. Laughable. Didn't you realize that really hell was not Old Testament concept? They didn't talk about it much. And the New Testament, all the epistles, but they didn't really talk. The one who spoke about hell most is Jesus Christ. Wow. He was the one who spoke a lot about hell. Because God couldn't commit it to anybody. He, God himself, must come and tell people hell. Wow. Jesus spoke a lot about hell. But it looks like, oh, hell is wild. I don't think any of us would like to be there. You won't go there anyway. You won't say amen. I said you will not go there. Yeah. What you say matters. In life, what you say matters. So sometimes it's good to repeat the word of God. And Jesus, yeah, it's good to sometimes say, when you hear something that you believe that this resonates with your spirit, it's good to say amen. When you say amen, amen is the shortest definition of your faith. You just said a faith and then you embrace it because the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me try and prophesy and see people, those who receive it. You will never see shame.
Amen.
So Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What you say in the realm of the spirit matters. Jesus said that any careless word that comes out of you, you shall be judged by what you say. It's a serious one. Matthew chapter 12.
Wow.
All right, but let me finish this thing by talking about revelations. So he came down and wrote the letters to the churches. Seven churches said, these letters write to the seven churches of Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Write this and send it to them. And then when he finished writing, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not the body of Christ, churches. So these are local churches. It's like sometimes you go and do, you go to hospital, they do a test or something. They said, we'll send it to your GP.
Right.
So local church is like GP spiritually. And God expects everybody to be part of a local church, to serve in a local church, to fellowship in a local church. Christianity is a fellowship. It's not a religious philosophy. It's a family. To the churches. So what am I trying to say? Before I end on love, every one of us must strive to maintain the koinonia. Coronavirus, this whole thing, Satan, I believe Satan is behind it.
Yes.
It's real, but Satan is behind it. Yes. But where is God? If it's Satan, why didn't God also do something about it? Because God is more powerful. He should do something about it. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the earth. The plan of God, the program of God, the church of God has never been under threat. Lockdown can't lock out the church. No, but God knows what he's doing. Because I have a feeling, I heard a story some years ago in Russia when the Soviet times, you are not permitted to gather as Christians and stuff like that. And one day some Christians, underground church, they were having service. And then two soldiers entered with a gun. Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing? Said, if you are not a Christian, leave the building now and let's deal with the Christians. And some, I'm not one of them. When quite a few of them had left, the soldier said, now shut the door. They put their guns and said, now let's have fellowship. Now that we have gotten rid of the hypocrites, let's have fellowship. season is testing people's faith, whether it's genuine or not. It could be.
It's testing people's faith and their love for God.
Yeah. I love God. That lockdown will show.
Yeah.
And the second thing I found out about interesting about coronavirus pandemic situation is to try and stop us from speaking. Can we shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Meanwhile, there is power in your words. Every time the Holy Ghost comes on somebody throughout scripture, they spoke out.
Yes.
Every time Holy Ghost comes, they spoke out. Yes. Mary, Bible said, Mary greeted Elizabeth. The baby in her womb left her and she was filled with the, she said, she spoke with the Lord. Blessed are you! Yes. Whilst Peter yet spake these words, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Whilst Peter yet did speak these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all those who heard him. And then they began to speak in tongues and began to prophesy. And Acts chapter 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hand on them, the Holy Ghost came up. And they began in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Bible says that, and when and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with us as the Spirit gave them utterance. Bible says, but Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke to the elders and spoke out and told them in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Bible says, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke out against someone by the sorcerer. So when the Holy Ghost fills, because there's something about your tongue. About your tongue. The Bible says that, let the people say amen. Yeah, it's in the Bible. What you say sends shock waves in their spirit. So don't go around saying, hey, this coronavirus is want to kill me. Please, you are giving Satan a license to operate freely. Don't say it. Proverbs says that a man's life shall be satisfied, belly shall be satisfied by the fruits of his lips. Sometimes you just have to say, I taught the church, I said, when I ask you, what have you got to say? If you don't have any, say, I believe God.
Amen.
That's right. I believe God. Paul said, men and brethren, be of good cheer, because the Lord, whom I serve and whose I am, the angel of the Lord appeared to me, Acts chapter 27, from verse 13, from verse 23, said, the angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me that, Paul, God has given you all those who are journeying with you. You should have listened to me and not to have sailed from Crete. You should have listened to your pastor. You should have, not the people here, those there, tell them they should have listened to pastor. When the other time I was teaching, I was saying, you have gone fasting, believing God, God, I need a miracle. He sent you a prophet. You abandoned the prophet. God always has specialized in using agents. I'll say that again. For all you may know, I'm one of the agents he has sent for this morning. Yeah. Yeah. One of my weakness, I'm trying to grow out of it, is how to preach and say what people want to hear. I don't know how to do that. I care, but it's like I don't care whether you like it or not. No.
A child to keep I have. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Chapter 9, verse 16, I'm sorry. Woe is me. Necessity is laid on me. I have to preach. Paul said that, may the Lord, I like this. I'll end with it. Romans chapter 16, verse 26, sorry. Romans 16. He says that, may the Lord, may he establish you. Good. But now, go to 25, I'm sorry. 25. Wow, it takes a while. I prefer the King James. Yeah. Now, to him who is able to, establish you. This is not King James. It's not King James. I prefer King James. King James doesn't say establish. It says establish. I don't know what kind of English. Establish. I like that one. No, that tells you are really firm. Establish. You remove the S and the E and then. Said. Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Think about it. What God is able to do in a person's life has a lot to do with the preaching they hear.
according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret. The preaching. God does a lot through preaching. So when Jesus was preaching, demons were screaming, "Leave us alone! Leave us alone! Leave us alone!" Until some things are preached in the church, some things will never leave the church. Wow.
It is okay to preach and say, fornication, no good. Yes. Fornication, no good.
Some people don't know what fornication is outside there, but we do. Fornication, no good.
Government said, yeah, yeah. God said, no good. Government said, yo, yo. God said, no good.
Giving must be preached.
Yes.
This morning, my message I was preaching in church. Do you know the title? Very funny title. Is it funny? Interesting title. What's the title again? The beauty product of the fashionable woman. Beauty product. 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1. Talking about women. Wives. So no, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Not women. Wives. Be subject to your husband.
Amen.
Yeah. Your own husband. So submit. Now, submission is like a theological swear word in our generation. People don't want to submit to government. They don't want to submit. They want to defund the police. They don't want to submit to government. They don't want to submit to pastors. The pastor you can't honor can't help you. Can I repeat that? Don't bother to say amen to the one whose instruction you are not following. The prayer will not work. These are things that people don't know.
I pray that the Lord will bless you.
Don't say amen because when I give instruction, you are not following. Don't say amen because the prayer will not work. The pastor you can't honor can't help you. And the work of a pastor is to guide you in the ways of God. Bible says, all scripture, I feel like preaching now, but my time is up. 2 Timothy, that's my gym. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It said, all scripture, the Greek is paragrapha. The Greek is paragrapha. All scripture is given by the theopneustos, the breath of God. Paragrapha, theopneustos. All scripture is given by the breath of God. And it is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, yes, that the man of God, verse 7, will be thoroughly finished, equipped unto every good work. If I am handling the scriptures well, I should be able to rebuke you. I should be able to correct you. But no, at times, no, you can't correct me. If you correct me, I'm taking my money. I don't want to say what is there, but let me quote a scripture. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. I'm going with my money. I'm going with my money. If you, the way you are preaching, ask it. Let's say, look at verse 19. And look at it. This is yours. Look at verse 19. Oh, guys. Give me this power. Peter said, this, you are bringing money into this thing. Verse 20. Ooh, verse 20. But Peter said, the church is not in need of anybody's support. God said, I will build my church. Some people, because of their offerings, the pastor must be careful what he says. Thank God for church like Harvest. It is a privilege to give to a pastor and to give to a church. Whether you do it, whether they do it or they don't do it, God is able to bless his work. My time is up and I have to stop. I'll continue in the second service. I hope you still love me. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Hallelujah!
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 Thank you very much, Pastor.
Bless you, sir.